I know. I love this one.
It's better than, I guess, clicking it a gazillion times, right?
It's way less irritating than clicking it a gazillion times.
Gentry gave it to me, and he goes, "You need this," and he was right.
He wasn't wrong.
Wasn't wrong. Well, he seldom is.
Please make sure your mics are unmuted and you're live.
I'm still muted.
You're not muted.
Oh, I didn't think so.
You're fine.
We will call the meeting to order with a short invocation, followed by the pledge.
To the flag of the United States of America, and to the republic for which it stands, one nation, under God, indivisible, with liberty and justice for all.
Okay, at this time, do we have any public input? Would you come up to the mic, Jake, and state your name for the record?
Good evening, I'm Jake Mendez Jr., this member of the executive board. I just want to address two things to the city council and to the public works. On Saturday at 3:50 p.m., a child was nearly hit by a vehicle at the intersection of on Sullivan Drive and East Columbia Street. Now, I'm not for certain if there's any speed signs available posted within those intersections. And also the two accidents that were on Main Street, one that I was told that was on 1st and Main, and another one I video documented on 14th and Main. So wanted to address those issues as far as the those go. And the fact that I've communicated with Councilman Chris Darrow regarding traffic light cameras. And I know it's gonna take some time, and I appreciate that. I just want to address how important it is, how dangerous it is out here in the streets. And regardless of any corners or outer city limits, or within city limits, but on the outskirts of the city, near town or outside of town, it seems like it's pretty dangerous everywhere. Especially on State Route 26 and State Route 17. But talking about city limits, becoming more evident enough that it is becoming more dangerous here in town. And I don't know who that child is or who the parents or the guardians or family that is, but I would like to come up here today and speak on behalf of that family. Imagine the trauma of what that family may have lived through. But without any signs, I would really appreciate if the public works could take a look around for maybe every other section that are long roads that don't have a posted sign or any speeds that are posted. Has anyone could have gone 25, 35, 40 miles an hour? You can imagine what the impact it is on the child, especially regardless if you're wearing a helmet. After that, you could have been someone that may have not paid attention. Could have been someone who was under the influence. Luckily, so I want to thank the appropriate security for being there and making sure that the child was safe. This could have been a different effort. With people being aware of whereabouts and the speed that they're going with here within city. That's why it's so important to address these cameras, because it's the fact that could have collected evidence. The photos, videos, and that vehicle could have found a way. Not away with that, but face travel could have not have been for me. You've been passing by. This could have been your child. This could have been the children of the people behind you. This could have been the child of people that are leading this city council meeting. The outcome could have been different. You could have had so much medical bills dealing with this child, or they could have been very, very much. I want you guys to take this very seriously and take that into consideration of why I'm addressing this to you today. And I'm going to insert that audio clip of that dispatch call at this portion of this video that I will publish later on today. So people of the community will benefit from that as well. Thank you.
Thank you very much, Jake, for your comments and your concern. At this time, we will take roll call. One council member, Angel Garza, not here. I have not heard from him yet. Text him, and he is on his way. So he will be here shortly. So do we need an excuse for him until he shows up?
So moved.
Mayor, make a motion to excuse Councilman Garza from today's meeting.
Second.
First and second, all in favor?
Aye. Aye.
Any discussion? Okay, so passes. Okay, now we will go on to approval of the agenda.
Motion to approve tonight's agenda.
First and second, any discussion? All in favor?
Aye.
Any opposed? So carries. Now we'll go on to the consent agenda.
I motion to approve the consent agenda.
Second.
Got a first and second. Any further discussion? All in favor?
Aye.
Any opposed? So carries. Now we'll go on to current business. First one on is the information and discussion on prohibition of the sale, advertisement, and distribution of kratom. Yes, Aaron, you're going to bring more. You did a lot more research since the last meeting.
Yeah, sure. So this is just a continuation.
So it's picking up online. So people online can hear. I think something's wrong with our speakers. So we just need to speak loud in here.
Okay.
But it looks like it's registering online.
I can speak loud.
Sorry.
So it's fine. So this is just a continuation of the conversation that we had brought forth at last council meeting regarding Kratom or 7OH. So just to recap a little bit, just to give the council some information if you hadn't had time to read over the study that was in the agenda. So Kratom is a product that is currently being sold in Othello, and it's being sold in a different number of ways, such as gummies, energy shots, teas, and so forth. And the real big issue here is that there's no regulation on it, and it's linked to, and it's been shown to by the FDA and the DEA to be of high concern. And it's high concern just because of the chemical properties. At a low dose, it acts more like a stimulant. So it's more like it's advertised as like an energy booster or mood enhancer. However, at a higher dose, it acts more like a sedative, like fentanyl and also like methamphetamine. And the problem is there's no regulation on it. There's no state regulation, so there's no restrictions on how old you have to be to buy it or how much you can buy it. And considering the way it's advertised, there is a high risk for abuse and addiction with our youth and those that are already suffering from some sort of chemical addiction. So that is why it's being brought forward. It's being brought forward in consideration. Attached with the proposal is the actual change in the ordinance itself. And I think it warrants a conversation. I think it's important that we discuss what is sold within our city. And I understand that there, you know, a lot of something is always gonna be bad for you. I totally understand that. But I think there's a difference between the types of products that we're talking about here. This product itself is sold for more of that herbal stimulant type of product. And unfortunately, due to the different doses that it can be sold at, especially at a high concentration, it does have addictive properties. It is a high concern of abuse. And I know that the mayor has brought this forward to me about some specific examples that he might know of, whether up to him if he wants to discuss those or not. However, I think it warrants a discussion within our council for the restriction of its sale within our city.
Okay. I do know personally of somebody that has inattentionally used this without knowing the effects, and they end up spending 3 days in the hospital from the effects of it. I did have a conversation with a close friend. They have a family member that is actually...
Sorry. Make sure.
Okay. Better. And they are actually highly addictive to it. And it is a very addictive drug. The state legislation had a couple bills that they tried to get through earlier in this session, but they were unable to finish going through. My hopes here are to at least put something temporarily in place to help the sale or prohibit the sale of it until such time that the state legislation could step in with legislation to control the use of it, sale of it, and age limits and everything else too. So tonight you do have a proposed ordinance. We don't have to pass it tonight. That's solely up to the council. You can take a look at it and bring back thoughts and concerns at the next meeting if you'd like.
So okay. I have a question. How widespread are the number of retailers that are actually selling this within the city? Like, how many businesses is this going to affect in terms of getting the message out and having them pull things off their shelves and signage and whatever?
Sure. So this product is typically sold at smoke shops, vape shops, and gas stations. As far as I know right now, I only know it to be sold at Pick a Pop. Do you know of any other places?
There's other ones in town that are. We'll just leave it
at
that.
Yeah, I won't mention where it's sold for public purpose. But yes, it is at other locations within the city limits.
Like two locations, three locations. I mean, you don't have to say the name, but how many locations that you're aware of?
I know of two others.
More than three.
Yeah.
Okay.
So, but we're talking maybe less than half a dozen. It's not like it's going to be 25 businesses that is going to need some time to...
Correct.
Okay.
A few.
Yeah. There has been three other cities within the state that have took... Mm-hmm. Measures, the city of Spokane,
yep.
The city of Spokane Valley, and the city of Clay Elum have already took action to put a ban of no sale on it.
So no sale completely in those
no
cities?
No sale completely.
Okay.
So my other question would just be logistically, and I think I already know the answer, but if we pass something that completely bans it within our city and the state legislature does something that limits it or does a different age or whatever, we're still fine to be completely banned
mm-hmm.
here,
yes.
More restrictive, correct?
Yes.
Okay.
Yep.
That doesn't make us have to come back and...
I think that's a question for legal counsel. I think we should bring them in for those kind of questions.
I think it follows along the same lines as our cannabis sales.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, I think we can be more restrictive, just not less restrictive, I
yeah.
think, mm-hmm. than what the legislature does. So...
Got some questions.
Okay.
And just going back to the ban on cannabis, that was something that when I was on planning commission, that was the first issue that was given to us to make a recommendation on cannabis. So I got to be a pretty good expert on banning stuff. Councilwoman Camp brought up is exactly correct, based on my experience with doing this with cannabis. I guess I want to make a statement first. I think anytime we consider banning stuff, it's going to have impacts on people and it's going to have impacts on businesses in both directions. So you got to take it very, very seriously. And to that end, I've been studying the heck out of this and fortunately have access to a fair number of experts who I've talked to about this. And one of the quotes from one of them was, she was very direct and she said, "This is the devil, you better get rid of it." And so I do take that very seriously, but I also think that it's important to make sure we are, because this will, there is, the issue that drives me crazy on this is people use this to kick the habit of heroin. So we could be impacting somebody's ability to do that, and that shouldn't be taken lightly. That's what a lot of people do use, a fair number of people use this for. It is not, however, regulated by the FDA or DEA in any way. So this is done willy-nilly without real consideration or thought on how it's done. It's just something that happens, but we make a decision on this, it could impact that. Just to verify, there are no particular incidents driving this, is that correct?
That's correct. None okay. that have been documented or reported to us.
So it's an overall mm-hmm. just concern because it exists in this community.
Yes.
And again, we talked about both the states and the feds have not regulated this. They could not even get it through a committee. And that is another concern of mine, because to me, this seems pretty black and white on this issue, yet nobody has been able to get this through, you know, get this through the end zone. Now, if you've dealt with many of the committees on the state, that's not hard. That's not uncommon.
Can I just ask you a clarifying question? Because you may know if you looked
sure,
into the legislature
away.
On it. Do you know if the bills that they worked on this year for it, did they have a fiscal note on them?
They did not.
Okay.
They did not. That's a great question.
I was going to say, because they just
yeah.
weren't.
The House
good legislation went nowhere this year because
anything
of the fiscal,
with a fiscal note took a hard hit. The House bill did not. I can't say that for sure for the Senate, but the House bill was basically related to making it 21 and over. That could buy it, putting an age restriction. But again, that couldn't make it through. That doesn't mean anything, however, folks, because if you've ever dealt with being involved with any of the committees, it takes very little to do this, and you start dealing with lobbies and where they impact and who's got that. That doesn't mean we shouldn't do it. How this works, and this is important, so I'm going to kind of get a little in the weeds here. What makes an opioid addictive and do what it does is it goes to particular receptors. They're called MU receptors, MU. This drug affects those as well. And to me, this is one of the most compelling things about this, because if somebody overdoses on an opioid, if somebody overdoses on heroin, you can give them naloxone and it'll reverse it. Hmm. Naloxone also reverses the effects of this drug instantly. So even though there isn't a lot of data, even though there isn't a lot of support, even though there isn't a lot of understanding of how this works, just that alone puts it on that opioid level. So when this is being said that, yes, we're concerned about the addictiveness, the respiratory impacts of this, that is absolutely true. I'm actually somewhat surprised that there's not a lot of documented deaths with this directly. I don't have an answer for that one, other than I think a lot of things are getting misdiagnosed and misunderstood, and just people are writing it down as fentanyl when maybe it could be this.
Mm-hmm.
And according to the data, it's actually 3 times higher to have respiratory issues with this than fentanyl, which is surprising to me. I think the issues brought up on the impacts on local business were fantastic. We have to take that seriously, that for, without a doubt, no one should be allowed to be buying this under 21 years old. And without any regulation whatsoever from the FDA or the DEA, it does put us in a pretty difficult position. That's kind of the stuff I learned going through that stuff.
Chief Garza, can I ask one other question? I mean, maybe you know, and maybe Chris would know. If you do a urine drug screen in the hospital, like if you come in and you're having a situation where trying to figure out what's going on, we'll do a urine tox screen. And I'm assuming you guys do blood testing or whatever when you have arrests and whatnot. Does this show on any of that testing? Does it come across as showing that?
I think it would. As far as like your analysis, we don't necessarily do those types of testing when we make any sort of arrest or anything like that. The only type of blood testing we do is when we do DUI arrests and DUI processes.
You're just
I would assume that it would be on there. I think if we were to ask them specifically, they could probably tell us.
I mean, in my experience seeing patients in the emergency room, I have not seen this as a line item. I'm just wondering if you
You'd know if it crosses over
or if this is a specific test. Because we may have actually had multiple people having issues, and we've not ever been able to put our finger on why if we're not looking for this specifically.
It would be hard. Whenever we do those blood tests, we're looking specifically for marijuana, cocaine, and alcohol and things like that, not necessarily this specifically.
Right. So this could be a much more widespread issue than we know.
And there's really no laws against it, even when would find somebody.
That's the high concerning part. There's no regulation on it. There's no regulation on the product's concentration. It's you can buy as much as you want, as much as you think you need. And just to touch, carry on what you were saying, Councilman, is that many times if someone is going through some sort of issue or there is some sort of overdose or something, and they have this in their system, more than likely it's in conjunction with other forms of drugs as
well. That's the other thing I found, that a lot of times this is mixed and makes it even more potent, which might make some of the testing, but I don't think it's tested for directly.
I don't think it is either.
I was gonna say, I don't know if this makes a difference or if it's possible, but if it was something that ended up being prohibited, is it then something you would look for in a DUI case? Or someone under the influence?
When it comes to DUI, DUI is basically all about impairment of a drug that you're on. Normally the ones we see is marijuana, methamphetamine, or other sort of issues. But as long as we feel that somebody is impaired and we have enough information to articulate that someone is impaired and we make that arrest and they don't want to blow into our Jagger machine, do the breath test, then we do the search warrant for blood and we see what they actually have on board.
So what's proposed here, though, is really just prohibiting sale, advertisement, and distribution. It is not actually doing anything about possession.
Correct. It's not going to make it a crime or against our ordinance to actually possess it if somebody has it in their pocket, in their purse, or anything like that. What it does do is limit the opportunity for them to purchase it altogether in our town.
Okay. One thing I wanted to add, one of the reasons why I brought up about those people who are using this against addiction is we do need to make public that there's lots of ways to address addiction and that this isn't the only one. And if we do consider to regulate this, that letting people know that there are other opportunities to address this. I mean, there's a lot when it comes to opioids. I mean, Suboxone is heavily used to address that right now. So I mean, there's other things that are at least regulated and understood where this one isn't.
Sure, but I mean, if you have somebody who's using it for addiction, we're not doing anything to make it a crime for them to have it. They just can't buy it in Othello.
Yeah.
And with this being so unknown, so unstudied, not a lot of information on it, I would prefer safer avenue, like Suboxone. Mm-hmm. It's studied. It's done under the care of professionals. So that's my biggest concern is, yes, it could be a great tool for some people, but there's not enough of it. There's not enough information to say it's a safe option.
See, and that's the concern. The concern is people self-medicate, and there's no regulation on how much they can actually get. It's not, they're not prescribed. It's them going to the store and saying, I'm just going to buy what I think I need. Mm-hmm. And it becomes a concern, a health problem, respiratory issues, and whatever the case may be. So,
well, the issue with these drugs is that if you're taking it in conjunction, even with normal prescriptive medication, you can get synergistic effects.
Exactly. Mm-hmm.
That with somebody without that would be probably fine with whatever they took, but it can get you into the weeds pretty quickly.
Well, mu receptors are reactive to a lot of things, so a lot of things you don't want reacting to this. So, yeah, it increases. So after reviewing all the data, understanding that the FDA is probably not anywhere near taking action on this, or the DEA, and even though it does impact our businesses potentially, I'm comfortable with this moving forward with a full ban, as opposed to an age-related regulation.
Is this something that would be helpful to have put out to the public and allow businesses to have public comment to us on, to maybe consider an age thing? Or because we're talking about very few here in town?
That's a great comment, but I think, again, when something presents potentially a clear and present unregulated danger, being decisive in action might be more advised than not being decisive. And without having, again, the FDA doesn't regulate this, DEA doesn't regulate this. Right now we're allowing this to be the people of Othello to make that decision.
But the people of Othello are also adults and able to make decisions mm-hmm. for themselves as well.
Under 21 can buy it right now.
I am fully on board with at least an age component. I'm just wondering if that needs to be considered before we move forward with a full ban on it.
So I know the businesses that are probably selling this
it's good.
It's not the main products that they sell in there. It's probably just a convenience item for most of them on their shelf, just to have. As impact for financially, I can't see it being a large impact financially for those places that do sell it. So I don't have any problem with that. For the age, right now, I don't get the vote on it, but you know, I'm coming in favor of a full outright ban until the state could take action on this. And I think as more cities start to take action on this, it will get a little more clout with the legislative to be a little more aggressive and take a little more work onto it. I know there has been 17 states, I believe, right now that has put a full out ban on it. And there are a lot more looking at it further because the FDA has not moved on it
quickly. Out of curiosity, Chief, what roughly what are the local businesses selling it for? I mean, are they? Does it look like there's a profit that they're going to significantly lose out on, or is it like 99-cent Tylenol on the register?
Golden like gummies or like shots like 5-hour energy mm-hmm. stuff like that. I don't know what the actual price is, so I don't want to speculate.
Okay.
I wouldn't say like 5-hour energy shot costs what, $350 or so. Mm-hmm. I'm assuming it's probably roughly the same. I'm sure there's maybe some variation based off the product, based off the concentration, something along those lines. I don't think it would be a huge financial impact okay. on any particular business. And I think that's also a strong arguing point just to restrict it altogether, just due to its overall concern, a lack of regulation, and a high probability of addiction and abuse.
Bert Johnson, when would this ban take effect? Would it be immediately, or would it? I couldn't find that in.
I believe 5 days after.
After publication.
After publication, yep.
Section 4.
And this proposed ordinance already has been reviewed by legal. She actually drafted it. So just so you guys know, this is what we would bring forward at the next meeting if you guys don't want to approve it tonight.
I don't believe there's any proponents for keeping this that are here tonight.
Mr. Mayor, I would like to have this item brought for public comment before we take a vote on it.
Okay. like I said, this is your guys' decision or discussion time, so
I think
if you would like more.
I'm okay with banning it tonight.
I'm late to the party, but I'm sorry for, sun's out. I lost track of time. But how many other cities are banning this?
Right now, there's currently three in the state of Washington that have.
Three?
Yes. Spokane Valley, and Clay Island.
Okay. So what's your concern? Why go out to the public? Why, what's your opinion on that?
One, it gives us an opportunity to educate the public as to why we want to take this step, not just say we're doing it for your safety. The public buy-in is important if we're going to say, tell them you can't purchase this in our city. Give them an opportunity to have knowledge.
How long has that been sold in our city? Been a while, right?
I don't know.
I don't know.
5-Hour Energy has been around for a long time, so... I'm also comfortable with tabling this till our next meeting to allow the public to have an opportunity to come and speak during public comment, whether it's a business owner or whether it's somebody that uses this every day as a low dose, as a stimulant, to allow them to have an opportunity to speak before we move forward with a complete ban.
Councilman Barnes, I am completely sympathetic with wanting to get input from the public on this. And in most cases, I would definitely err that way. My concern today is after we have this meeting, we are now going to be putting a big focus on our community on Khartoum. And there's gonna be a lot of people who are now gonna be looking at it. I really do not wanna allow a month of experimentation now to happen in this city while we get that information. I think it does actually present enough of a concern without being regulated that I'm actually going to recommend we are decisive and ban this.
Except it's been available here for decades.
So it's
and we don't have any actual documented cases here in Othello, right?
No.
That we can say, I mean, it's been unregulated the whole time it's ever been available.
So it's actually the 5-Hour energy drink.
I believe so.
Is one of the things.
It's like that.
It can be sold like it.
Sold like one.
It's advertised.
Sold like a 5-Hour energy, but it can also be sold like gummies and pill form. It's sold in lots of different forms.
So what's the difference between that and an energy drink? A Red Bull.
I don't know all the chemistry of a Red Bull, but I'm assuming most of Red Bulls is sugar and caffeine. This is something completely different. It's a 7-OH. It's an actual drug. It's not like caffeine or sugar or any other sort of energy enhancer. It like Dr. Durrell was saying, it attaches to the mu receptors. It acts as a stimulant in low doses, and it acts as a sedative in high doses, and it is a cause for concern as far as being used for abuse and being highly addictive. It causes respiratory issues, and it's often used. It is often used to combat withdrawal effects with people that are on other types of harsher types of drugs. It is, in my opinion, part of that niche type or culture of society that often try to use different things in the place of stronger drugs such as fentanyl. And because of that, like we've been talking about, we think it's a large enough concern to restrict its sale.
You said 17 other states have already banned it?
Yes.
As Councilmember Camp said, we're not testing for it, so we have no idea if we have a problem with it or not. I don't want to wait around and find out that we were late to it and we're continuously postponing it. So that's why I feel like I'm comfortable tonight saying that it should be prohibited. It's not being tested for, so we don't know if we have a problem. But the data on it, the study that we were given, I mean, it's a scary drug that's just available at a gas station. So for me personally, I don't see the point in waiting.
So my issue is that I'm 100% on board with banning I think it is probably a safety concern. However, I also feel like I was elected to be a voice of the people. And if we have this, this was on the agenda for tonight, but it's on the agenda as an informational item. It is not on the agenda as a motion or an ordinance or a resolution. So it was not listed on our agenda today as something that we were planning 100% to take action on. It's been available for decades. I feel like it's prudent to give 2 weeks to allow at our next meeting the public the opportunity to come. If nobody comes and speaks on it, we move forward.
But we were given this information, a bit of it, at our last meeting as well. So it's been on our agenda twice now.
Mm-hmm.
So, I mean, it's been there. It's been on there. It's public record that it was there at our last meeting.
But like for me, I don't know what product had that more called it a drug. Now you're saying a 5 hour. Well, shoot, I came 5 hours and none then.
It's like a 5 hour. It's not exactly the 5 hour, but it's
exactly 5 hours. It's like a 5 hour.
Not the same thing.
Is it?
It's not exactly like a 5 hour. It's like it.
If you're talking addicting, it's not addicting because I've taken 5 hours.
But yes, but this drug is.
I don't take it every day. You know, probably once or twice a month when I'm long haul driving. So if you're saying it's addictive, it's not addictive.
A 5 hour energy. It's a completely different product.
Different.
It's not fire. It's but like it's sold in that those same type of shots, is what we're saying.
Angel, if I could, where this thing goes to how it affects you the same way the heroin does. It goes to the exact same receptors and affects you the exact same way. So basically, we're selling a natural substitute for heroin. That's what it is. I mean, if you have an overdose, you can take naloxone and reverse it immediately. I mean, that's you can't reverse Advil. You can't reverse 5 hour energy. But if you overdose with this and heroin, both naloxone knock it out because it affects the receptors of where that's going.
Well, if 13 states banned it already, and we have a few counties that have done it, cities that have done it here in Washington State. I mean, you said it comes in that form. I kind of misunderstood you, but if what you're saying, I mean, I'd be all for banning it.
So the proposed ordinance was brought to you tonight, not to absolutely have it passed tonight, but for information. It's up to the council, though, to the direction that they want to take it. Tonight. If you decide to wait, this will be the first reading of the ordinance tonight. And then the next meeting will be the second reading
right. In
the formal. So.
Are we out of order on that? Do we have to go through all those readings for that to take effect?
We do not.
No. I didn't think so.
It can be passed tonight
chooses to. It can be passed tonight. That's up to the council, the direction that they want.
Mr. Mayor, once again, I'm not comfortable without allowing the public to comment on this. If it was such a critical issue, the DEA, the federal government, make this controlled medicinal, and it hasn't been made yet.
Okay.
So there are some issues. We would do a disservice if we didn't let the public comment on this.
Okay. I can address that. Why it hasn't, so for the DEA or the FDA to make that sort of recommendation, they have to have a certain amount of data. That data doesn't just happen overnight. It has to go through double-blind studies and real science, and that takes time. It's not that people aren't looking at it; they are, but the process that we have in place doesn't necessarily protect the public, and that's where we're at on this. And it is a tough one. If we don't ban this, I sure would like to see an immediate ban, at least on the age, making it 21 and up, so we don't have 13-year-olds going into stores and buying it over the next few weeks.
Okay. We don't have any data showing that 13-year-olds are out purchasing this. We don't have those numbers to show that in the city of Othello, we have this demographic purchasing this item for this number of dollars. We have these number of individuals being seen at medical facilities for treatment as a result of overdosing on this particular item. We don't have those. We have anecdotal information. We don't have numbers that shows that this is a red flag item that needs to be decided on tonight.
So we should wait for a 13-year-old to buy it and get sick from it? Because that's my concern, is that we're not testing for it. Hospitals aren't testing for it. Clinics aren't testing for it. But you are seeing cases where people are getting sick and they don't know what's going on with them. So should we sit around and wait for that? That's my concern.
I want the public to weigh in on it. That's my firm stance.
That was going to be my next question. Since this is on the table, has there been any cases, Chief or Daryl? You know, since you guys are out there, of overdoses or, you know, a lot of teens buying that?
There hasn't been.
Not in my experience.
There hasn't been any documented cases that we have here at the police department. But like it's been said, a lot of this is being done by individuals to self-medicate on their own. Without any form of regulation. But as far as actual police reports, there hasn't been any of those.
So nobody's been taken into the hospital because of this product?
But they don't test for it.
They don't test for it. They don't know.
Yeah. So it could look just like fentanyl.
Test it specifically,
or heroin. You know, an opioid overdose. Who knows? Yeah, it acts the same way. Same reversal.
My intuitive feeling is, yes, I want to ban it immediately. But as my colleagues pointed out, and I have to agree with them, it does say information discussion on the agenda. And I don't think 2 weeks is going to affect this a great deal. So I'm for waiting, doing it our next meeting.
Okay. Seeing no motion being made, we will move this forward to the next meeting. Okay? Thank you, though. It was good discussion tonight and a good starting point for that. Now we'll go on to the emergency sewer fix, Robin.
So I put out a memo for council. There's a sewer main line flowing north from Royal Street to Scutney, and it's in the alley between First and Broadway. And that was one of the lines that was lined 2023. So we had an issue with a commercial property. Their sewer line was not connected, and as we were coming, fixing that whole situation, we realized that upstream of that, so from anywhere south of Royal Street, the manholes were filling full until there was enough pressure to push them through this collapsed liner. So, and we don't know how long that's been going on. There's no way to determine that. So we've done some research. We had Allied Trenchless come out and reroute the sewer from Royal to Scutney so we could get a camera in that line and see what has happened. And that's when we found that the liner was collapsed. And Allied Trenchless is not who installed that liner, but they said the best that they can tell is when it was being installed, the way that it should be is they go in and it's soft as it is going in the pipe, and then it has to cure. And during that cure time, it looks like there was enough pressure from the outside water trying to come into that pipe that it collapsed it. So it was probably collapsed from the beginning. And when they did the video through that, it wasn't seen. So to go and grind that liner out, they quoted, I don't
I don't remember exactly, but it's a ridiculous amount of time. Like, they could go feet in a day. So the amount that we would be spending for them to grind that out and then reline it is astronomical. So they suggested going in, digging it up, cutting the pipe, and just replacing it with PVC. So that is our suggestion. We know that that collapse liner is at 15 feet from the manhole, so we know that we want to at least do 20 feet. But when they did some additional camera from Scutney upstream, it looked like there was starting to be some restriction at about 100 feet downstream, but there's no way to know that until we get in there and cut it open. So we'd like to declare an emergency and get somebody in there to do that. It's expensive. It's 20 feet deep, and there's dewatering that will have to happen to be able to install that pipe. So we would like a motion to adopt the resolution that makes this an emergency so we can just get somebody local to come in and do it without all of the regulatory bidding process.
Is there any questions or?
So it could potentially be 100 feet of pipe that needs to get replaced.
Yeah, so that's the quote I put on here, is between $200,000 and $250,000, is if it is that
full. If it's the whole thing, and yeah. That's replacement, not grinding out the liner.
Correct,
that's
that is replacing it with brand new PVC pipe.
And I called Robin today because I was kind of concerned, because we did a lot of lighting here in the past few years. And Robin said that they had cameraed a lot of it, and it looked good.
And it all looked good.
So my concern was that we spent a lot of money, mm-hmm. and if this is going to be happening, you know, coming down the pike, it's going to be expensive for us. But it's good that we don't have any.
This is the only place that we have found
signs of mm-hmm. other pipes caving in like that. Anyway, the liner messing up. So I motion to, you know, as an emergency, get this priced out and get it done.
I second.
We got a motion and second. Any further discussion? All in favor?
Aye.
Any opposed? Unanimous. That so carries. Do we have any unfinished business at this time?
Whoa.
Your contract.
Excuse me. I got ahead of myself. Well, that kind of is unfinished business, but. Yeah. The next thing on the here is the addendum to the fire service contract between the City of Ofello and Adams County Fire District 5. This has been in the works for almost over 3 months. We were able to finally come to a conclusion and decision. The attorneys have been working on the contract for the last couple of weeks, going over it, working out the fine details. It pretty much covers what we come to resolution with the fire committee and the fire district at our last meeting that we had with them that one day. So we're here with the 1 year contract for fire services, with the intention to move forward with annexation, which after tonight, if council approves the contract, we will start the process of pre-annexation agreement with the Adams County Fire District 5 to work out, which if in April of next year, hopefully when we could go to ballot, and it will also, the pre-annexation agreement will also cover the additional 8 months of the contract if it's so passed by the public in April.
Can I read something regarding this?
Yes.
I'm old, so I gotta write stuff down nowadays. While I look forward to the collaboration between the city and Fire District Number 5 for fire protection, and then starting down the path to annexation, I have 3 issues with the current proposed contract. 1, when the fire district was out campaigning for a levee lift, it was insinuated that if the city did not opt out of the fire protection contract, that the levee rate could be left at 60, I'm rounding these numbers, at $65 per $1,000 value, 65 cents per $1,000 valuation. based on the large increase in valuation within the city and the accumulation of a reserve fund for District Number 5 in excess of $1.8 million, I believe this amount is doable. This should have been the starting point of negotiations. Two, what happened in negotiations? The district started at 90 cents per thousand, and that's what's being presented tonight. I'm not asking for any favors, but a compromise somewhere between 0.65 and 0.90 would have been a good faith showing toward annexation. Three, there is no language in the current proposal that a reserve fund be started to purchase city equipment and apparatus. The old contract was unfair that the city had to pay the same rate as the district and then also had to fund the purchase of fire trucks with city monies outside the district reserves. This contract is worse now that we have to pay 90 cents per thousand with the same language to pay for the trucks. Yes, I realize that if we annex, the county will buy the trucks, but annexation is up to the people, not the council. I want to guarantee that if I pay 90 cents per thousand, some of that money will be earmarked for the purchase of trucks. 2 months ago, I publicly stated at council that I will not pay 90 cents per thousand and also have to purchase city trucks. To be fair to my constituents, I will not walk this back. I know that's weird coming from a guy that was a volunteer firefighter for 40 years and is now with the support team, but I have to look out for the city funds. And I think this is a little bit of an overreach by the district commissioners. It's 90 cents per thousand. And if you read through the contract, that like becomes the basis, is that if we don't annex, it's based on what they charge in our assessed value of the city. So I would like to go back. I either get something below 90 cents or get a guarantee that if we do pay 90 cents per thousand, we don't have to buy our own trucks out of other city monies.
Is there? There was some in the conversations regarding the bridging contract regarding the city equipment and getting either a credit towards with the valuation of our current equipment, if I remember correctly, and I don't see that was put in the contract that we're supposed to, if annexation does get approved, that there we'd have some credit and buyback.
The reason we didn't do that,
that's part of the 90 pre-annexation agreement that we right now, this is a one-year contract to get us to that point so we could start to negotiate that. Because currently, right now, our contract is up at the end of the month with the Adams County Fire District 5. So we need fire coverage to get us that more time to work on a pre-annexation agreement, which will address all those issues also. And it will also address the number that's used for if the public approves this for the 8 months from April to 2028 would be when they could first collect tax money for that.
I believe at the start of this contract, the payment to the district was like $450,000. And now over 5 years, we're up to $1.2 million just based on the assessed value. And
the thing is, we can't go back to the past because we're getting a heck of a deal. We tore it up. We were getting a good deal. So we're way past that, okay? So now we got $1.2 million to do the one-year contract. That's what we're trying to do. Make sure we're covered between now and here. And then what you just mentioned, Darryl, those numbers are not coming in till after this year, as far as the buyback, because he wasn't sure of the amount. He didn't want to promise an amount, so we were supposed to stay quiet about that till that came about. but it's out already. So I think it's very important that we get that year under our belt for the safety of the citizens of Oglala, and then we move forward. You know, if we can't, if it's going to take longer, which it is, for the annexation process, we follow through it. I mean, I'm for it. Is this, you know, as of now, I'm for it. We've tried everything, you know, and the annexation was one of the, wasn't even on my mind, put it that way. But the more we talk about it, I like it. Mm-hmm. And I think it'll work. I think it's good for the city. And you're mentioning, you know, it was 400 some thousand. Well, you know what? When that come about, if we would have made the deal, we would have had a darn good deal. The thing, I mean, they went to the county and did what they did. They came back 89.9 cents. Mm-hmm. Now the city, the county is going to say, well, we need to match that. So we have to match that. You know what I mean?
Yeah.
I kind of argued that for a little bit. Why, if it's a 1 year process and we couldn't get them down? We tried. We tried hard to get them down for that 1 year because, hey, you know what? We're not in contract. So let's negotiate under the 89.9 cents, you know, for this year, and it wouldn't work. The committee tried. We did. We worked hard to get it down. So they're where they're at. Let's get it done. Get that year so this, you know, we can start the process and get something done. You know, this has been 2 years going on, and it's just ridiculous already. Let's get something done.
So that $400,000 is a little bit misleading because that was years ago valuation. And if you look at our previous contract at 65 cents, with our current valuation, we would be paying $871,000 with our old contract. So this is 1.2 because of the lid lift. But what's not in here that I know has been talked about is the annexation process is not free. And that whole bill is, if I'm correct, is going to be footed by the district fire department,
yes,
correct?
The district like has not said that they would foot the bill.
So yes, we're paying more, but that money is going to them and they are going to foot and do with their consultant that did their lid lift and all of that. They're footing the bill for that whole thing too. So I think based on our old contract would have been 871. Yes, this goes up to 1.2, but they're footing the bill for the whole next process of the annexation.
Yeah.
So
Tom, you have anything to say about that?
They need to foot the bill for the next ladder truck we have to buy. I mean, we're looking between approaching $1 million, and there's nothing in here that says that if the annexation doesn't go through, your other two alternatives are we go on our own or we contract again. And if we do that without language in here, with the current language that we buy our own trucks, that to me is a double whammy that I find unacceptable.
This contract, like I said, it is just a 1 year contract.
It expires.
It expires in 1 year. But in 1 year, we would have already went to the vote of the public, and that will give us a good indication then whether we're going to have to pursue our own fire department, or if we go back again to find out why the public did not vote to approve annexation. The pre-annexation agreement will cover a lot of that because there will be stipulations in that and clauses in that in case that it is not passed by the public.
Well, that's when it gets hard, when we go and it doesn't get passed. Mm-hmm. So we pretty good throw them back to square one again.
Well, my constituents are saying, we're tired of this bickering contracts. Well, let's go. We want to annex. That's what I'm hearing. Mm-hmm. But I just feel like for this next year, that they feel, the commissioners feel they have us over a barrel and are doing an outreach on 90 cents per thousand. I just think that's way too much.
Well, that's the thing, you know, we've always, that's been the problem all the time. The fire department thinks we have them, you know, over a barrel, and we think they got us over a barrel. That's why we're in this spot. So we have to make a decision and move forward and get something done. I mean, we're not even sure if it's gonna pass. We still have to put it out to the public.
Right.
You know, if it doesn't, that's when we're gonna have to get to work and work fast, because, you know, we're gonna ask for another year. Mm-hmm. You know what I mean? But at least I like the annexation. I mean, a lot happened in that meeting when Tom was there. I mean, we come together, you know, and it was said already, you know, we tried to get them down from 1.2 and they wouldn't budge. So on our, if it did pass on the remaining 88 months, they were going to give us, it's out already, okay? You know, go ahead.
Tom, come, if you speak, please come up to the microphone.
My name is Tom Salisbury, I'm the fire chief at MS5. Mark, I can guarantee you we're not going to ask the city to buy us a ladder truck within the next year. I can guarantee you that. And I've been looking into ladder truck prices, and they are very expensive. We're looking at about $2 million.
Mm-hmm.
So, Mark, I can guarantee you right now, the city will not come to the city and ask you to buy us a ladder truck within this next year contract, okay? I know what the contract says, that you guys will replace your own vehicles and all that. We're trying to make this work the best we can, and I think we can make it work. I really do. To put your mind at ease, we're not going to come and ask the city to buy us a new ladder truck, okay? Obviously, within this first year. Hopefully, the annexation works and it passes, and we don't have to worry about it, because the city will never have to buy another truck again. It'll be up to me to have to buy fire trucks. The district, not me, the district. Okay, so, and that's where we stand right now. So, any other questions I can answer?
Yes, Tom. This is the best thing that you can offer us as far as the contract to address all the needs of all of us, not just your situation, but the city as well. Is that correct?
Like Ken said, you guys need a contract for a year. We've already committed. You guys have already, the fire council's committed to the contract. The pre-annexation agreement is where a lot of things will take place, which that takes place after you guys sign your one-year contract with us. We sit down and we do the pre-annexation agreement. We talk about trucks. We talk about what we'll pay for. I and Kelly mentioned some stuff that we said we'd pay for. It's not cheap to run an election. I've looked into the price of it. It's about $50,000 to run a special election. I've been doing my homework, so I know what this stuff's gonna cost, and I will present that to council to let you know what we're paying for and how much that will cost. And we'll hopefully we can be fair, and you know, like I said, I think the best thing for the community is fire district, the fire department.
Just really simply, this contract is what you need at the lowest level that you can charge us to move things forward for the future, correct?
Right. Okay. And the 90 cents, you know, that, like you said, Mark, the 90 cents. Once we annex, fire district annexes, we have to buy the trucks. The city's no longer on the hook for anything but the fire department. Mm-hmm. And it's all gonna be on the district. And it makes it a lot easier at 90 cents per thousand for me to purchase trucks. Like I said, it's 2 million right off the bat if we could just purchase that truck. And that's the next truck problem we need. So, yes, to me,
I think I appreciate that.
I think we're moving forward here. I don't want to go backwards. And I want the city to have fire protection. So I'm hoping the council will get on board with that. And hopefully we can move forward and have a pre-annexation agreement, talk with the fire council, the mayor, and Spencer, and get things worked out.
Chief Salisbury, I appreciate that. I appreciate the situation that you're in on this and to move things forward as we transition out of this. I appreciate where we need to be on these things. I know you've gone through a lot of work on this and all of that. I think all of us are in agreement. We want the best for all of the area. And if this is the best path to get there, that's something I'll definitely support.
Has it been discussed? I mean, supposedly if the city and district work together, we'll have the economies of scale, and it'll cost less to run if we're together in the deal, that we can lower that 90 cents for both the...
Not with the district having to purchase trucks and you want need to hire more people. My problem right now is I don't have enough people as it is. I haven't hired anybody back just because I don't know what direction I'm going. I can't hire people and then fire people because the city went a different direction. So I need to have steady direction of where I'm going before I can move forward with what I can do, Mark.
But can they add?
I can tell you this, it's not going to be cheaper. For the district, it's going to be a lot more expensive. I mean, we got stuff that needs to be taken care of and fixed, and people hired, and trucks to buy. And trucks have doubled in price. I mean, we paid $650,000 for the ladder truck you guys have right now, the 2005. And now it's $2 million, but we're adding more feet to the truck to get to 100 feet. But yeah,
thank
it's,
you.
It's everything's doubled. Turnouts have doubled. Everything's doubled in price. I mean, you guys know the city. I mean, Robin knows. Whenever she goes to do anything, it's like doubled.
You're gonna need that 89 cents and the 1,000 for fuel. Just saying.
Yeah. Salisbury, just to clarify. When we go through the annexation process, it will be your new board that will be determining what the costs will be, where things will go, correct?
My board directs me now. I've talked to them. And like I said, I had a board member with me when we met the fire council and we agreed to where we're at right now. I have a board meeting tomorrow night and city is on the, I have you under public comment because it's our annual meeting and we're supposed to have by annual meeting, so, but we will be meeting, and I'm under the direction of them, and like I said, a lot of stuff will take place under the pre-annexation agreement that we work out.
Right.
And yeah. That has to be agreed upon by, obviously, council not to approve that, too, I'm assuming.
Councilmember Barnes, you had a comment?
Yeah, thank you. So we had hours of discussion and deliberation about this process moving forward, and you mentioned economy of scale, and we talk about, well, we run our own fire department. Now we need our own administrative staff, right? So now we're not going to have to hire an administrative staff and the headaches to go with that. And you say it's going to be up to the fire district to buy these things. It's still the taxpayers that are going to be buying it,
right?
As a whole. And if annexation does move forward and is approved by the voters, we get to have buy-in on how that works because we could potentially have members of the community, citizens here, as part of that board to provide input and direction for how those tax dollars are being spent. Mm-hmm. So it's my opinion, better for us to work together than to work apart to be good stewards with the tax dollars that are given to us to spend.
To approve the attached addendum to the contract.
We've got a first and second on the fire department addendum contract. Any further discussion?
Well, I feel like I'm in a pickle here. I mean, you guys have convinced me, and my wife has told me I can't keep being the 6-1 guy, so. just be aware. I think it's probably more than we need to, just for the 1-year contract. I just think it's a lot.
All in favor?
Aye.
Aye. Any opposed? Unanimous decision. Thank you very much. Okay, now we will go on to unfinished business.
Okay,
hearing none. Unfinished, we will go on to new business.
Just before I came to the meeting, I wasn't late because of that, but somebody walked into my office that the trees need to get pruned right there at AutoZone because they're having a hard time, seeing the traffic that's going, is going east. And I think we've done it, we've pruned them in the past. I think they need to get done again, Robin. I mean, there's no leaves yet, so just imagine when the leaves come out, it's going to be worse.
Anything in our right of way,
Yeah.
I have a couple items. One, just for your information, your F1s are due. And I'm mayor.
Done.
Mayor. Done. Oh, shut up. I may or may not have got fined because I didn't do it fast enough after the election.
So you still got a couple days.
Yes. We've put in a lot of resources. This is more at Robin for weed control in town, spraying ourselves. I'm just curious, what should I spray versus the city's going to spray, especially related to gutters, cracks in the streets where weeds are growing, and alleys?
Anything within our right-of-way, the city will spray. And they've already been out spraying. Mm-hmm. So gutters, like curb and gutter,
right,
they're spraying those, and then alleys.
Perfect. Okay, I didn't want to spray twice in that.
Correct.
The other
Please spray is, it twice.
The other issue I wanted to bring up, just to get up on the radar, is the state, I don't know how that much it's affected us, but it's declared us a drought region or something. And so, and other cities are restricting hours of watering and days of watering. So just to show our support for that, I thought we might consider doing something in town to that effect. And I think even in Spokane, you're not supposed to water between 10 a.m., water your yard, and 6 p.m. 10 a.m., is that what I said? Mm-hmm. And then there, it's, even with my controller, it's difficult, but you know, if your address is odd, you can water on odd days. So ponder that one. See if we can get behind that a little bit and show our support for the water resource in our state.
Well, right now we got two of our major wells down. Mm-hmm. Hopefully we'll get one back online before the heat hits. The other one is still questionable, a well 7. So we may be in that predicament ourselves for this summer.
This goes back to getting the irrigation pumps and infrastructure.
ASR project.
Not ASR. There's actually there's a irrigation grant that is proposed. So the original grant proposal was to put in two pump stations, one south of town and one north of town. The one south of town is not a viable withdrawal location from the irrigation district. So that one we can't complete with this grant. We are doing the one in the north. So that one will connect to all the Sand Hill properties and anything that had irrigation connected to that. So that will be in before this fall. It probably will not be used this summer. It won't be used till next summer.
Is that using surface water to water lawns?
Correct. That's for an M&I contract through the irrigation district.
Don't you have to plumb the water to all the houses in?
It's been done.
We have it. They're dry lines.
They're already there.
Yep.
They're already there.
Well, that would be good.
That would be great.
The Olson homes up there by CBHA all have irrigation.
We changed that
and
rule.
It's been years and years.
5 years ago?
Still in the water.
I heard they didn't.
They absolutely did. I'm on the north side of Olympia, and we've got it's all dried in waiting for there to actually be irrigation there.
Yep.
I was the first house on that side of the road, and it's ready to go. I just need a pump to give me some water.
But
there.
The Olson addition on the south end of town, they're not using irrigation water for their yards.
We're not.
They got irrigation there, though.
They have irrigation pipes in the ground, same thing, that mm-hmm. they're dry in.
Oh.
But where they originally planned to put the pump, there's not enough water available at that pump station. So we have to come up with a different solution there.
Okay, any further new business? Okay, and the council will also receive the Planning Commission meeting minutes. And with that, no further business before the council. The meeting's adjourned. With our what?
With our fire department grant.
Actually, I...